Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is made possible by Mariner Wealth, helping you navigate your financial future. Star Companies KC, experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sana Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results, tailored perfectly to individuals' needs. Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck. Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, on to the program.
ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground with Kevin Ward and Brian Sullivan.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Hey, here we are at the Advent Health Championship. We've got just a few minutes here before George Brett, our buddy, has to head to Kauffman Stadium and put a little show on, right, George? You got to be out of here what time?
Well, I'm going to leave here at 6:45.
6:45.
Which I thought I'd be able to stay for the whole show because I do a lot of these shows with you guys.
Yeah.
And when we do them at the stable, it's always, okay, we're going to do the show at 4. We do it at 5.
That's true.
I was told to be here where we're going to do the show at 5:30. We're doing it at 6:07.
Yeah. No, it's 6:01.
So I got about 45 minutes.
You got 45 minutes. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you. Well, it's you guys played golf today. Here we are at the Advent Health 7,400-yard course, Wardo.
Yeah. And wet.
Now, it's only got 25 yards of fairway here. What's your assessment of the Blue Hills Golf Course, Wardo?
You know, I think it's going to be a really good test. Obviously, last night's rain softened it up a little bit, but I think it's going to be a great test. It's a ball strikers golf course, and then the greens are definitely different. They slope to the corners. So, again, it's going to be a great test over the weekend, and I think, again, you got to golf your ball around here. You got to drive it straight. Clearly, the rough's pretty long, pretty deep.
Yeah. Hey, George, how'd the team do today? Pretty good?
I think we were 14 under.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier playing golf when you get to hit Kevin Ward's drives because it was a shamble.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier today.
Really?
Tell everyone how many birdies you made.
I only made 6 today.
Did he?
You should take a month off more often, bud.
Yeah.
George made 6 birdies?
Yeah.
Well, that's how about a big round of applause for Georgie for 6 birdies?
Nice.
Yeah.
If I was playing my tee ball,
yeah,
I wouldn't have made 6 pars.
Oh no, it's so true. Well, you know when I hit it well, where's it go? I did my Matt Wolf, 214, right down the middle, baby.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I hit every tree. All right, now George, we're gonna get a little serious here, because you're an athlete. You like sports. You're about to head to Kauffman. What advice do you have for a lot of these young guys, right? So there's a lot of young players out here. They come from all over the world. And some of them are trying to make it, like this young buck here next to us. What advice would you give a young guy who came to you and said, George, you were really successful in most everything you did. My golf swing's good. I don't know if my mind's right. How do you put them at ease? What would you say to them?
I would say you got to believe in yourself, believe in your abilities. And always think positive. Whenever you get a negative thought that even enters your mind, you get it out of there as fast as you can. But that's the whole thing with me. When I played baseball, and it was the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning, and the game was tight, and it was a World Series or a playoff game or an important game, I would always say to myself, not only do I want to be up here, but all my teammates want me up here. And then I would say to myself, that guy out there on the mound does not want to face me in this situation. So what all that does is it puts you in position to succeed. And I think a lot of these young guys that are trying to take the next step, there might be a little doubt. There might be a little doubt. But if you believe in yourself and you can breathe and relax and go out there and perform something that you've been doing since you're a little kid, I think it's going to help them.
Well, we've been doing this for a few years now, and three things always stand out that I learned from you. And I think you keep things really simple. You said, you're always going to have more fun than every player on that field.
That was my three goals.
Three goals, right? What was it? Number two was out-hustle them. And number three was the goal is to always be the best player on the field, right?
The first two were easy.
Yeah.
I had more fun than anybody that played. I played 20 years in the major leagues. Nobody had more fun than me. The second goal was easier.
On and off the field.
Well, both, but you're right. And the second one was easy because I love what I was doing. So I wanted to hustle. Now, that's not sprinting to your position. It's not fake hustle. But if you hit a ball, you run hard. You hit a ground ball to second baseman, you run as hard as you can. You hit a fly ball, my goal was always to see how close to second base I could get by the time the guy caught it. And you see guys now, they hit a ground ball, they just drop the bat and jog to first. They hit a fly ball, they throw their bat down. And they don't even make a turn.
Right.
You know, I didn't play that way. And the third one was the hardest one, was to be the best player on the field every game.
Right.
That was the hardest goal I ever had. I wasn't a lot of times, but there was plenty of times enough I was the best player on that field.
All right, we're going to play a brief video. For those of you who can look at the TV behind you, just to remind you of what George Brett was back in the day.
This is well done.
What do we got, a video?
Well done. Turn it up, Sully.
How about a nice round of applause for George making so many Kansas Citians happy?
What are we doing that for?
I didn't know Sully
was
capable of
that. Is that beautiful?
Huh?
God, I get all teary-eyed watching that.
Well,
listen, I was a short...
I tell you what. Wait till you see Brandon's highlight film when you put him up. Listen, when he comes up here. I want to see that one.
No, but listen, but a serious
and
question. When, hey, George.
No, I think it's a 7-iron.
Hey, when you see that, how do you feel, honestly?
I feel it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. I mean, if Charlie ever makes a cut, you know, I call him No Cut Charlie, but if he ever makes a cut, man, we'll do a highlight film of that, and you'll watch that once in a while. It makes you feel pretty good.
All right, now, the one time
you're going to make the cut this week.
The one time you felt that good was at Mission Hills. What did you accomplish?
This show is not me.
It is right now. This is your segment before you got to run off.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Wardo, maybe you want to take it from here. Set him up. What did he do at Mission Hills?
Well, George, let's back up. What was your best athletic achievement?
Winning the club championship at Mission Hills Country Club in 2017. Did you know that? Oh, you knew. Did I tell you that today? I told you. Okay.
Amazing.
The biggest?
Biggest thrill of my life. I mean, I've never won a trophy before by myself. I never won a 100-yard dash. I never won a diving contest, a bowling trophy, lacrosse, you know, whatever. I've never really been an individual athlete. I've always been on teams. I've won football trophies and baseball trophies, but never anything else. And when you win your first trophy as an individual, when you're, let me see, what am I, what year is this, 2022, 69, when you're 64 years old, it's pretty gratifying.
Yeah. How did he get there, Wardo? Tell him about the journey, because he had to get through who?
He got through me, then he buzzed through another great player, and then in the finals he beat Brian Norton, who's a very accomplished player, and I don't know. It was amazing. I wasn't there for the finals, but George got teary-eyed is from what I heard. And, you know, it's just, I think
I don't get teary-eyed anymore talking about it, but I did for a while.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, but you
it's
think
like
about,
your first son. It's but, like your first son. You know, y'all have a first son. You get a little teary-eyed, right?
Yeah. Well,
now I have three.
Well, as a 15 handicap, George, I did tee up after I won my second net club championship. And,
Sully, you're this close. You're this close. You're this close.
I'm really that close. Now, so today and over the weekend, we're talking about young guys, and not all young. There's some older guys who are trying to fight their way back. But there are a lot of guys like this guy next to us, Wardo. So the man next to us, you want to introduce him because he's a bit of your protege.
Yeah.
So maybe share
everybody say hello to Charlie Hillier.
Hi, Charlie.
New Zealand.
Hi, Charlie.
We're here for you, Charlie.
Thanks for having me.
Charlie wound up in Kansas. Well, tell us how you wound up in Kansas, Charlie.
Well, kind of a long story. My first ever golf coach in New Zealand played at University of Oregon. So that kind of sparked the kind of thought of playing college golf. We watched the 2012 U.S. Open, went up, visited the campus afterwards, and we don't get anything like that in New Zealand. So pretty quickly I realized college golf's where I wanted to be. So Coach Martin up there told me to go down, play in the Junior Worlds in San Diego the next year. So I did that. And then I was hitting balls in the first practice round. And some kind of old guy with snap glasses and a plastic chair covered in colored birds comes up to me and asks me for my name. So I gave my name. They watched me all six rounds. I was leading through the third round, finished fifth or sixth. So I was I wasn't too happy about how I finished, but he came up to me after I got off the 18th green and said, son, have you ever thought about playing at Kansas? And I said, to be honest, coach, I have no idea where Kansas is. So then, you know, visited one school before that, flew out 2 days later from San Diego, and committed 2 days after that.
And your brother followed you.
Yeah, yeah. No one else would take him, so it was kind of a sympathy bid.
All right, what have you learned from Wardo? Because Wardo had a great career at Kansas. I mean, it's pretty cool. Wardo, are you still the only guy to simultaneously hold the Missouri and Kansas State AM?
I'm not sure. I think Tom Watson may have done it. I'm not, but it might have been in different years, but I'm not.
You're a pretty elite crew, right?
Lightning in a bottle.
No, come on. Enough with the humility. Months. And who was your caddy when you did this?
Oh, God. My dad caddied for me at the first one, and then I had Gary Woodland on the bag for the Kansas AM at Shadow Glen.
So isn't that why? So you have you had a U.S. Open champ caddying for you.
And he looked like Jerry Tarkanian. He had a towel for some reason, a wet towel in his mouth the entire time.
Why?
I don't know. He was just sucking on a towel.
And did you ask the question, why are you sucking on a towel?
I can't remember. I was just like, just.
Oh, you were focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, when Gary Woodland caddies for you, like, do you bitch at him? Or I mean, do you know that this guy might be good someday and I should probably kiss his ass?
Oh, I knew he was good the first time I ever met him. I watched him hit a golf ball, kind of like watching these two hit golf balls. And you just know it sounds different. It's just looks different in the way they carry themselves. So it's like, I don't know. I've known since day one that Gary was going to make it, and he just has a different mentality. And to what George said, like, there's a lot of merit to believing, and I think Gary on the mental side is as strong as they get, and he's just dumb enough to not get in his own way.
So the way he's playing is kind of crappy right now. Is there any chance he might caddy for you again at the Mission Hills Member Guest?
There's an outside chance, but hopefully he's working that week.
George, you've caddied for Wardo before.
I caddy for him for every tournament in Kansas City. I'll caddy for him. I would rather caddy Sully than play.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You like to coach?
I like caddying.
You're a pretty good golfer, though. Yeah. What?
Brandon needed a caddy someday. Call me. You can't do it. I'll fly down and do it.
But listen, hey, at any point, do you look over and say, holy shit, George Brett is on my bag?
I mean, there's just always these random times you're just like, oh, my God, there, you know, or whatever, or videos like that. And you're just like, you kind of have to pinch yourself. But, I mean, he's just a genuine dude that he's just one of us, right?
So George, why do you like Wardo so much?
I like
his
wife.
We've never asked that question.
I like his wife. I don't like him. I like his wife.
Come on. What is it? What is it about this man that you really enjoy? Because you spend a lot of time with him.
He's got a great place to hang out when the weather's shitty. A lot of times we go out, and I go home, and I feel pretty good because I'm not as drunk as he is. So I don't feel like an alcoholic.
Right.
So and we go to dinner.
He's fun to play golf with. He's fun to play golf with.
And I fix when you're in a really bad place, I fix it.
Right.
I fix your golf swing.
He's a pretty good coach, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's why you created Charlie the protege, who's a pretty damn good instructor, too. In fact, I prefer Charlie over you because when you get with me, one, you're embarrassed that I'm affiliated with you, which is upsetting. It's a bad way to start a instructor-learner relationship.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you treat me like shit.
Well, maybe it's when my biggest pet peeve when someone comes in is if they have mud caked all over their clubs because it goes from their club to the screen. So right there, like, I just write that person off. And every junior player that comes through, mud, cake.
Really? What other little clues do you look for to identify a really crappy golfer when they come to the golf
stadium? When their woods, if your woods are in the bottom of your bag and not the top, I know you're an absolute chop. So, also, if your stuff isn't organized, that's another, like, if you got a wedge next to your driver, no, that's out.
Really?
That's when I know you're probably not in a player.
Are head covers necessary?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because you got to keep your utensils are expensive solely, and you got to keep them tidy.
What wedge covers? What do you do
wedge
if someone comes
covers.
In with iron covers? How do you break the news to them?
Send
that it's
them down
cool?
the road to Club Pro Guy and get him so he can get a 747 swing lesson in his studio.
All right, so listen, Charlie, you're on a sponsored exception. Is this your first Corn Ferry event?
No, I Mondayed into the Wichita Open last year.
All right, straight up, how do you feel? Because tomorrow is, I mean, it's a really big day. We got to have the mental state right. His golf swing is fantastic. Right?
Poetry in motion.
How do you go in tomorrow? And then, George, I want your coaching. I want to make like you're the Newt Rockne in the clubhouse. What do you say to him at this point, getting ready for a really important 4 days ahead of him?
Well, breathe, have fun. Breathe and have fun are the two most important. I think Charlie's going to have some other issues to deal with tomorrow. He's going to see his parents for the first time in 3 years.
Wow.
Who in the audience that has parents that are living has gone 3 years without seeing your parents? Anyone?
Who in the audience is listening to the show?
Is anyone listening?
Four.
3 years.
But he's going to have other issues. You're not going to see him tonight. They get in too late, right?
Yeah, they get in at midnight tonight.
Yeah, you're not going to see him. You'll see him in the morning.
Correct.
You'll have breakfast with him. There'll be hugs. There'll be handshakes. There'll be kisses. There'll be tears, I would imagine. You know, you asked your brother Harry, who's with him down in, where's he at, Texas Station or College Station?
College Station. Congrats to the Jayhawks, by the way.
It had to be tough.
Yeah,
right?
I've kind of flipped it on its head and kind of, I view the week as a success already, you know, right. Playing in front of my parents, playing in front of adopted parents, you know, playing in front of kind of my home now. So it's, I'm excited.
Yeah. No, I think he'll do just fine. I mean, I've played with him and I kid him a lot about his game and about his game.
What, what did you show up to the stable on your birthday for a present with me? For me, with
I gave you. Is that the T-shirt? I was telling Charlie. I was telling Kevin one day that I think Charlie's allergic to the yellow ropes because he plays so good when I play with him in a non-tournament. And then when he goes to Latin American plays, you know, he'll shoot 68, 74, 70, whatever. So I got a white T-shirt, and I got a yellow magic marker, and I put lines across it. And I gave it to him, and he says, what's this? And I said, I want you to sleep in this because I think you're allergic to yellow ropes. Now, when you play in a PGA event, there's yellow ropes everywhere. You know, so I thought that would give him some comfort.
Yeah, did it?
Well, your shrink thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, she well, did.
Huh? She thought it was a good idea.
You followed it up the other day by saying he should just start booking his return flights on Saturdays now. It's a cheaper flight than taking it late Sunday night.
Yeah, well. or Monday morning.
That's not good coaching.
If
going
you book
into-
well, I know.
So you're kind of contradicting
just,
yourself.
This is
here.
Just table talk and sitting in the bar talk. You know.
All right. So
this
right,
is the this is the end of the naked. This is the end of the giving him shit. I'm on his bag tomorrow. From
right.
This,
oh no.
This time forward,
he's caddying
I'm
for
just
you.
Going to be. Oh yeah, the super looper.
You're not going to be over coaching, micromanaging him.
No,
are you?
I'm going to say hit this shot and he's going to hit it. I'm going to say go to two, hit this shot and he's going to hit it. It's pretty simple.
Nice.
That's what he's going to do.
You can let him read the putts.
Yeah.
Really?
I can read him.
I mean, does he have any input on this? Or are you just going to micromanage him?
No, it'll be a conversation there, but I'm going to tell him what shot to hit, and he's going to hit it.
When are you going to let the angle fly, man?
He's still a little, still getting
like a little
coddled in the cocoon a little bit.
All right, well, listen, we're going to be following you tomorrow.
Awesome.
All right, you got to pump his ass up tomorrow.
We're dialed. All right? We're dialed.
George, give him a little pregame speech tomorrow. Okay. And I'll just okay. Right, and I'll just be there clapping for you.
I love it.
I'm gonna say a little prayer for you tonight.
Awesome.
Okay. And then I will be here Sunday to watch you continue to play. And just go kick ass. Right?
Yep, have fun, right, Tully?
Let's that's simple. All right, hey, listen, how about we all give Charlie a little?
Yeah.
Listen. This is a big gig. We all got to put the positive juices on him. So we're going to see him on Sunday. All right. So our next guest, who George and Wardo played with today, his name is from Temple University.
The
Philly.
Temple Owls.
Is he around? Where is he?
It's the Owls,
Temple
right?
University. Owls.
I guarantee he could have jumped flat-footed. Up here.
He's very athletic.
He's like, look
guys,
at him.
Guy's a freaking
so,
athlete.
So, hey, big round of applause for Brendan Matthews, please. Big round of applause, Temple University.
You know what I told George today? Or no, I told Sully today. I said, this guy looks like a blend of Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. This guy is good.
This is the first time I've seen him. He's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
All right, who's better looking, him or JT Poston?
Oh, the postman, for sure.
No, he's not that good
looking.
What
about Fleener?
How about Fleener or yeah. Matthews?
I got to go with Fleener.
You got to go with Fleener. Yeah. He's a fatty. All right, so...
Hey, Sully, I just got to say something.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to toast him. How many guys are Brandon, playing here. In an event tomorrow drinking a Michelob Ultra? What flavor is that?
Whatever that flavor is.
What is that, a grape? Great flavor.
It's got a little cranberry.
You get all these guys now, you know, they're talking to their dietitian and their swing coaches and doing all this stuff. And they don't go out and have a cheeseburger and a couple beers before the round starting tomorrow.
Well, George.
That's his second one. I've been counting.
You can't forget I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
So right.
The
home of Sleepy kind of Joe.
The White City. Hey, George, speaking
you know,
of guys.
We don't claim that.
Listen, hey, you came back last week from Alabama, and you said you were hanging out with John Daly.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, drunks.
Hey, he had four double vodkas at dinner and shot 3 under the next day.
Really?
You know what? I would be lying. Or I should say, I had some of my best games ever on Sundays.
With a hangover?
Little hangover.
Well, you know what? I watched George play today. It was an absolute...
No, I was. I might have had a little hangover today.
Just slight.
I might have had a little. I don't remember.
You sounded a little hoarse on the first green when you tried to yell.
Yeah. And I might have had a little headache today, a little
wine
foggy.
What wine were you drinking last night?
We had some Pinot Noir at Mission Hills Country Club. I was there with Kevin and his wife.
You're not going to elaborate on that?
No, it wasn't a good bottle. It was a decent bottle. But I think I had a couple beers, and we had 2 bottles of wine.
Yeah. Hey, so what do you think of our man?
He's very impressive. Very
really?
Impressive. Yeah.
All right, so the
got
word...
Got a good caddy, too.
So,
got a great caddy.
Great caddy.
I forgot your caddy's name. What's your caddy's name?
Colton,
yeah. He's a great caddy.
Colton, how many times have you won? You've won here once or twice?
Where's Colton?
Colton's won once with Gellerman in 2019. And what else? Fifth with Grayson Sigg last year.
He's 4 wins out here now? Or 3? Yeah, so what do you call that as a caddy? The golden shoulder? Golden shoulder for the loop?
Well, let's change that this week. You want to change that?
Yeah, let's see if we can make it four this week, right?
Let's change that.
We had a great crusty old caddy today. He looked like Puff. And I look over, and he's got a little Arnold Palmer umbrella on his thing. And so, I said, huh?
Puff or Fluff?
Fluff, Puff.
Give him a break. Enough. He's had a few.
I don't need to be corrected, Wade. Don't you micromanage me. I'm not Charlie to you. So I asked the guy, he said, hey, have you ever caddied on tour? He said, yeah, 25 years. I said, what was your best bag? He said, Arnold Palmer for a couple years. I said, well, that's pretty impressive. So I had him read my putts. You know what I did, Sully? Missed every freaking one of them. He should have quit at 26 years.
And that was definitely his fault. Instead of 30. Right?
That was horrible. Because I'm the second best putter in a club. And I don't really go here. All right, your reputation, Brandon, is you bombed the ball. You are known, as a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, you got a chance to play on the PGA Tour, the big event. And, you know, I was reading, I think it was golf.com, and they said, we have the longest hitter on tour playing this weekend, but it's not the name who you think it should be. And it was your name, sort of like a just no one really knows your name, which is probably real showing up, right? Who is this guy? Which means you destroy the ball. If the PGA Tour people think you kill the ball, you kill the ball. And you have a great story about how your mindset to destroy the ball began. Share it with the folks.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty cool story, guys. My dad means a lot to me. My best friend in the world. And he... Speak close to this. Yeah, so he taught me how to play the game. And when I was growing up, I grew up at a little 5,600-yard golf course in northeast Pennsylvania called Eman, and it's no name spelled backwards. My dad paid $50 a year for me to be a member there my entire childhood. And he used to tee me up on the 15th hole on the ladies' tee, which was when I was probably 4, 5, 6 years old, which was probably 50, 60 yards to cover this little pond. And as soon as I got it over that pond... He moved me back a tee. So, and then as soon as I got it over the pond from the white tees, he moved me back to the blues and so on and so forth. So from a very young age, I learned how to hit the ball with power before I learned technique. And I think that's really important for a lot of people with kids out there who are trying to, you know, teach their kids how to get into golf, want, you know, maybe they have some talent, so on and so forth. And a lot of these parents try to micromanage, you've said that a couple times tonight. Their children, and they try to do it by technique. And they sometimes lose the sight of the kids having fun. And when they learn how to just hit the ball hard, they learn to enjoy the game so much more. You know, I played a ton of baseball when I was a kid. My dad was a big baseball player. Baseball's been in my family for a long time. So my great grandfather played in the minors for a while, and so my family has that genetics of fast hands. So I was fortunate enough to have that along with my dad teaching me these certain things. So in combination, it ended up being that I had that power before I learned technique. And when I learned that technique, that's when I started getting very good. So I was very fortunate enough to have a great dad. Still, I mean, he's unbelievable. Every time I get a chance to see him, he's brings a smile on my face. So, but he did a great job with me, and I encourage people to let the kids be free a little bit, enjoy it, hit it as hard as they can before you sit there and try to make sure their swing is perfect at 10 years old, where realistically all you want for them is just to have a lot of fun.
So is speed something that you were born with, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was taught through that.
Yeah.
You know, if my dad sat there and got me a swing coach at 8 years old, I think it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But, you know, since he did that, I think I had that power. I was hitting it about 300 when I was 13-ish.
Amazing.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Well, Sully, you were not born with speed. Our guy over here, Brendan, was born with speed. Period. The end.
Yeah, but I was born with height.
What, your nose hairs?
Brutal.
But Wardo, when I think of what he just said, right? You have technique and you have power. You're saying, get up as a young kid, just get over the ball, bomb the crap out of it. Something about your body might, if you got to be athletic to hit it far. At what point do you say, okay, now you gotta stabilize them, right?
And honestly,
because I can imagine you two debating about this over some cocktails.
And honestly,
feel versus,
and that's, to be honest, that's how Gary was when I think Gary and I met when he was 14, 15, and he hit it a mile, and he didn't know how to play golf. He was an athlete that is now, he has discovered how to play golf, obviously, and I think he's still not there. I see a lot of the same features in him in terms of the speed, the athleticism, and just the shot making ability. And it's just a matter of time. If somebody can hit it 330 yards and the other guy in the group's hitting it 290, there's just such a big advantage. So you're coming into greens with shorter clubs, and you can hit a 3-iron or a 2-iron pitching wedge on a tough, tight hole maybe, and that's just a huge advantage. So that, I mean, the technique part, he's going to be just fine.
So Brendan, like a couple weeks ago when you go out, you're on tour and you're seeing all the big names, and you no doubt have to compare yourself to them. What was your assessment?
I mean, not necessarily. I don't look at it in that way. I've always been brought up to believe that no matter what I was doing, I was going to work hard enough to be the best in the world. Whether it was baseball when I was growing up, playing on 8 different teams when I was 12 years old and traveling, you know, all around the East Coast trying to make sure that I was going to play professional baseball one day. Mm-hmm. And then when I got burnt out with that and realized wasn't what I wanted to do. And when I sat there in the fifth inning while I was pitching and got taken out, and I looked at my dad and said, hey, I think there's still time for 9. You want to sneak up, Emmanuel, and get 9 in?
Yeah.
So that's when I started really falling in love with golf, was 13, 14 years old. And when I did that, I mean, I put every bit of effort that I had in my life into golf. I mean, still, golf is my life. I mean, you can ask my fiance. She'll attest to it. I mean, I eat, breathe, sleep golf. I love it. I don't mind talking about it for hours upon end. It doesn't bother me because this is what I feel like I was born to do, and I love that. And, you know, so for me, I feel very lucky in order that I get to do what I want to do on a daily basis. Not too many people can say that. So for me, I feel very fortunate, and the people I have around me, my team, my support system, that makes it even just a little bit sweeter.
What's the difference between Korn Ferry Tour players and what you played with 2 weeks ago?
Not much. These guys out here are good.
Right.
I encourage every single person to come out and watch these guys this week, because there's going to be a hell of a lot of guys that are playing this week that are going to be playing on the PGA Tour and winning on the PGA Tour. I mean, these guys are tough. I mean, you ask guys on the PGA Tour right now about how hard it is to make a cut on this tour, and you'll hear some interesting things. They'll say, you know, there's a lot of guys that think that this is the hardest tour in the world to make a cut on.
Really?
100%.
Wow.
The talent level out here is beyond belief. The talent level in even, you know, Latin America and Canada is getting to the point where it's incredibly good. I had a birdie the last hole at Weston Hills, where they used to hold the Honda Classic back in the day. I had a birdie the last hole to shoot 22 under for 4 days to win by one.
Wow.
Okay, so that kind of shows you, and that's on the Latin America tour.
It's crazy.
So that's showing you how talented these guys are coming up, and how good you have to be. And that's attributed a little bit to technology. You know, if you have a TrackMan, you have a GC Quad, you have something, you know, Full Swing's here this week. They have same exact kind of launch monitor system. And, you know, you have that, and you sit that next to your golf ball while you're practicing, you know how far every single golf shot is flying. So that's a massive advantage, as opposed to back in the, you know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. No one knew that on every single shot.
That's awesome.
Who did you play with a couple weeks ago on tour?
I played with Kurt Kitayama and Paul Bergeron.
Good guys?
Yeah, great guys. We had a really nice group. Very relaxing. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. What do you think? What number is going to win this tournament?
Yeah, so, I mean, it just all depends on how firm this golf course can get. You know, obviously in years past, it's been very soft. And if this golf course can kind of suck up this water we got last night and can firm out a little bit, this rough is obviously pretty juicy out there. So hitting fairways is a premium. Making sure you don't short side yourself in certain spots is a premium. So, I mean, but again, there's going to be certain guys every week on this tour that just have it.
They go low, yep.
And that's why I'm saying how good these guys are.
Yeah.
So there's going to be certain guys that just have it this week, and you're going to probably see someone shoot, even if it's tough conditions, you know, 14 to 18 under.
Well, the first pro we played with today, Wardo, yep. I asked him, you know, I became buddies with him early.
Shocker.
You know, became buddies with him, and I said, hey, buddy, what's your ranking? He said, I'm fifth. I'm five right now. And I said, wait, the top 25, they get their card, right? He said, yeah, I'm fifth.
Why didn't you say, why aren't you on the beach sipping umbrella drinks?
Well.
Long season.
But then
it's
listen,
a long season.
But then, you know, they swap you out. You got to play with another pro the next nine?
Yeah, so yeah. So here's my whole take on this, though. I think it's the greatest system in the
so
world.
So good. They should
it's
have
fantastic.
Done it years ago.
Because because for us, it's amazing because you don't need to play a full 18 holes. And sometimes in these pro-ams, obviously, as you guys know, can get slightly long.
Sure.
And we get to play nine holes, and you guys get to play with two professionals and meet two different guys.
Yeah, and you get to meet.
And
listen.
Let me give the cliff notes of what he's saying. He's saying, I don't want to spend 6 hours with a bunch of chops, so we're going to chop this thing in half. And
that's
we're going to go
that's
nine
actually
holes
not true.
In nine holes.
I love, believe me.
Great translation.
I love pro-ams more than anything, and I'm thrilled. I actually would not mind playing 18 holes in a pro-am every Wednesday.
Yeah.
But speaking in generally, yeah. Obviously, for the majority of this tour, to have that nine holes instead of being out there grinding for 18, you know, it's a big advantage come Wednesday. You feel more rested.
Yeah.
It's hey, the best you, system. They should have done it years ago.
Well, you get to meet two cool guys, right? Yeah. I mean, that and, you know, we play with Mike Adams, a title sponsor, Adams
yep.
Cable.
Adams Cable.
I mean, with both guys, he was like, hey, I think I want to sponsor you. So, like, there's money guys who play in these things. You get a chance to make a few bucks on it.
People lose sight of that.
Right? But I want to get back to the point I was making, Brennan, is the number five guy who I played with on the first nine and the number 130th on the Korn Ferry Tour right now. If I put him against a wall and say, and after playing nine holes, who's the number five and who's the 130? I couldn't tell you who it was. Right. And I think that's the point you're making.
Yeah.
It's parody.
It's really ridiculous. I mean, and so it all comes down to, in a certain aspect of obviously there's, you know, certain people that you see, you watch play and you say, okay, that guy's just better. Okay?
Yeah.
You see that sometimes. But also, you watch almost all these guys play out here, and you go, there's no way he shouldn't be winning. Everyone will say that with almost everyone in this field.
Right.
If
yeah.
not everyone in this field.
Right.
That's just how competitive this is.
Right.
And that's how on top of your game you have to be.
All right. Now, on top of you being a good player, I did a little homework on you. And yeah, the word on the street is you're a really good guy. So hear me out on this. And I know you've told this story before, but, you know, Wardo told me there's a good guy coming. You got to do a little homework on him. Of course, he doesn't do shit for preparation, so I have to do all of it. And
I spent 2.5 hours with him.
Yeah,
I did
yeah,
a lot
right.
of prep.
That's different. So in 2019, you played in a golf tournament. It's a really good story, guys. 2019, he plays in a golf tournament, and I believe it was a playoff. It was a playoff, and he's over a putt, and it was a big putt, and there was a fella with special needs in the audience who screamed over his putt. He missed the putt. Take the story from here.
Yeah, so I was playing in the Argentinian Open, which is actually a very prolific event. The people have won it throughout the years. There's some awesome names. And it's at an unbelievable golf course down in Buenos Aires, the Jockey Club, it was actually designed by Alistair McKenzie, who designed Augusta, Cyprus, so on and so forth. So it's a really special event. The people of Argentina take it very seriously. It's a bunch of crowds. And I was working really hard coming up to this event and felt like my game was in good shape. Ended up getting in a playoff to win the event. It ended up in the third playoff hole. And I had an 8-footer after my playing competitor holed a 30-footer from the fringe. And I had an 8-footer straight up the hill to tie him. And, I mean, listen, it's just one of those situations where it's not – noise doesn't bother me, but it's the noise that comes when it's dead silent. That is a little bit different.
Yeah, and it's not the Phoenix Open. You can handle it at 16 on the Phoenix Open.
Fine. I can play that all day long. It's the silence and then the noise. So that ended up happening. He had an outburst, and at first I thought it was just some fan screwing with me, really.
Right.
So I was obviously frustrated, went in, and Claudio, the tournament director, came in to me, explained to me the situation. And so I grew up, my mother was employed by Goodwill Industries, so she managed group homes. So I grew up around all this, and my best friend in the world, his sister has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just understood the situation, and like I tell everyone, I was slightly disappointed it was even a story because...
Sure.
That's just how people should react in that situation.
That's a wonderful point. But here's the picture for those who want to see it. So,
check out that. So
rather than moan about it and go pout at the Fairfield Inn, you went up, you found the guy who screamed during your missed playoff putt, and you gave him a hug, signed his glove. You win a good guy award. So I'd like to give you a nice little round of applause. All right, you can win a good guy. And you know what? Honestly, these moments matter. Gary had it with Amy at the Phoenix Open, right? Yeah. Same thing. Down syndrome. That impacted his life. And I'd say that drove him to do great things because he kept saying, I got this. And talk about turning a, you know, not a great moment. It wasn't, no one died there, but you turned it into something positive. I mean, did it have some impact? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, like I said,
You don't want to pat yourself on the back.
I wish it wasn't a story because, you know, that's just what should happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, maybe it helped a couple people realize that maybe they should do those kind of things more often. So if that helped a few people, then great. But again, like I always reiterate, shouldn't have been a story because that's how people should act.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome. George is raising his hand.
Okay, I'm out of here. I have a previous engagement. We were supposed to start the show
at
5:30, and we started at 6, so I'm going to leave a few minutes earlier.
Yeah.
But before you say anything, I love this story about the game of golf. I met you today at 8:30 in the morning, and we were perfect strangers. And we only played 9 holes together, and we're friends for life.
No question about it.
And that's what I always tell people when you meet them and you like them and you play 4 hours of golf with them or 5 hours of golf and a couple beers. It's like, God, we were perfect strangers at noon, and now we're friends for life.
It's the greatest game in the world.
You're a wonderful man. Thank you.
He's got something for you, I think,
though. Just before you leave, I just noticed something that I can help your golf game with a little bit.
What's that?
So I noticed your club slipping out of your hands a little bit today.
Oh, you got some pipe tar. Shocker. Boy, I've never heard that one before. Pipe tar stick. Bingo. Okay, who put you up to that? What are these guys?
No, that was on him.
No way. You say you're Caddy Colton of the hardware store to buy that?
I had to do it. Walmart.
So hey, as we wind this down, thanks everybody for coming out. A couple thank yous. Thanks to CM Hunegaard and Michael Connect with Advent. Amazing things that they've done with this tournament. It's awesome what energy that's going on. Drew Van Meteren and Rick Amos with Bruno Event Team putting on an amazing event here. Rich Fairman with the GM here at Blue Hills, and Sean Doherty, the head pro, who I've not seen, who's a great guy, good pal of mine, I've not seen this week yet. So thank you to all of them. And with that said.
Yes, yes. And I got to give a shout out to Chase McNulty from, where's Chase? That's all right. Hey, listen. All right, Charlie Hustle Sports. Make sure you buy some shirts. George,
okay, you
we'll
guys
see
have
you on
a good
TV
run to the show.
Here in a little bit. Brendan, God bless you. You're a good man.
Thanks, guys.
Wardo, I love you like a brother.
Love
We're
going
to get some vodkas now. Everyone, tell a friend, your cousins, everyone to come out to this tournament. Let's support these folks. I want to thank Blue Hills, one of the greatest golf clubs in town. So on behalf of the entire Golf Underground crew, God bless. Have a fun time. Take care.
I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.